So I'm going to name a doctrine. We've covered several so far. There's 10 that we're covering, and we actually split one of them into two parts. What have we covered so far? Yes. Angelology. Wow. Pastor Ethan made an impression. Isaac remembered angelology first. Good. What's another one? Angelology is the study of what, Isaac?
Angels.
And?
Satan
and? Demons. Very good. Very good. Okay. What's another doctrine that we have covered already? Pneumatology. What's pneumatology? Anyone?
Holy Spirit.
It can also be the study of air, really, because it can. But pneumatology is study of the Holy Spirit. What other doctrines have we covered? Got to scoot up. Can't go back farther. Got to scoot up. First three rows. Your wife is leading you astray, Ethan. I'm just telling you. Your wife is leading you astray. She was here listening. Apparently not listening. I didn't say you ladies had to move. No, they moved back one further. It's like sin takes you farther than you. What? How does it go? I don't remember. What's another doctrine? Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the science and art of Bible interpretation. We spent 4 weeks on that. What's another doctrine that we've looked at already? Theology proper, the doctrine of God and God the Father, right? We actually talked about the Trinity too in that. Okay, that's excellent. What else? There's a couple more. What was the first one we covered? Bibliology was the first one, actually. We started with the doctrine of what? Which is the doctrine of what? What's it mean? What's it stand for? What did we study? Yes. Doctrine of the Bible. What's the word Bible mean? Book. Bookology. We could say bookology, but it's the book, right? We also studied Christology, doctrine of Jesus Christ or Christ. And then right now we're studying anthropology. What is anthropology? And it's not the study of ants, just to forego some of the people we have here, huh?
The study of man.
Right, the study of man or mankind. It's not just talking about men, right? But people. But we call it man. We're using it in the generic sense. All right, we've talked about the creation of man. And we talked about the condemnation of man. Now, this isn't something, if you've been in church at all, which all of us have, I think, for the most part, we understand this some. We're just going to talk about it a little more. Okay? When we cover Doctrine 101, we're just giving you basics, and there's a ton of stuff we're not talking about. So the next 2 weeks, I'm going to talk about a little more that I don't really have time to talk about on Sunday mornings. But we're going to talk about Romans chapter 5, and particularly three verses, and for the most part, one verse. This is in your notes. It's also in your Bible in Romans 5. But I have Romans 5, 12 through 21 on the left-hand column. And we're going to talk specifically about Romans 5, 12 through 14 in the right-hand column. Okay? What I'd like to do is first look at verse 12, and if it would be in the upper right-hand corner. Okay? I just want to read out loud together Romans 5, 12. Okay? So let's read that out loud together. It's in the upper right-hand corner. Just that one verse starts out there for you. See that? Okay. All together now. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Okay? All right. Give me three reasons why I'm a sinner. This is review, not something we covered on Sunday. I don't think. If we did, we did it very... Adam sinned, and so I'm a sinner? Pardon me?
Since sin entered the world.
Okay. That's what we're going to talk about today. What do we call that? Those review. I use the acronym SIN. Remember that? How many can remember the word sin? Come on. Easy, right? You remind yourself every day of it, right? Sin. S-I-N. What Isaac is talking about is inherited guilt. Say that. Inherited guilt. You get it from whom? Your parents. Where did they get it from? And where did they get it from? And where did they... All the way back to Adam, right? We're going to talk about that tonight. Why else am I a sinner besides the fact that you know me well? The S in sin stands for sinful actions. That means it's something I do that I shouldn't do, or what? Something I should do, but I don't do, right? Either one. The Bible says that to him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is what? Sin. Okay, so either way, breaking God's law or not doing something that you should do. Okay? And then, that's the S, sinful actions, inherited guilt. What's the N stand for? Is this a personal testimony? A negative bent. What are other words for the negative bent? You're absolutely right. That's the words we use for that. N. What are some other terms for the negative bent? We bend towards sin, right? Other words for the negative bent. Sinful nature. We like to sin. What's another term? These are good. There's more of them. The old man. Have you read about the old man in the Bible? It's not talking about your grandfather. It's talking about the negative bent. What's another one? The flesh. Okay, the flesh, sarkos, the flesh. We've talked about that before. I'm trying to think if there's any others right off the top. Carnal nature, right? Carnal is still the flesh. That's a fleshly. It's used in two. It uses both terms in the English to represent that. So, what's the S stand for? Sinful actions. The I stands for inherited guilt, and the N stands for Nathan's negative bent, right? Well, and everyone's negative bent, right? Let's do that one more time, okay? Maybe two more times. The S stands for sinful actions. The I stands for inherited guilt. The third one stands for the negative bent, okay? We're going to talk tonight about I, inherited guilt. Okay? How does that work a little bit? Okay? Look again at your notes, the top right-hand corner. It says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin. So let's talk about what happened first, then we'll talk about why it happened. Okay? Any sinners here? Raise your hand. Okay, got a few. No, all of us. Since Nathan has a negative bent, would you mind being Adam? We all have negative bents, right? I'm just teasing. This is now not Nathan at this point. This is Adam. Who would have thought Adam would have been so good looking, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Adam. God tells him one command, right? What was that one command? Yeah, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can eat of every tree but that one, right? So what happens? Long story short.
He eats of the tree.
Go ahead. Eat. Now we can picture Adam through Nathan, can't we? Eating. Maybe this is a more realistic picture than we think, right? So then Adam sinned. Now I just need someone to represent sin. And I know you're all really good at sin, right? Go ahead, Olivia. Come on up here. And then Nathan, you're next. So don't go anywhere, okay? Over here, though. Over here. Okay? So who is this?
Sin.
Look at that smile on her face, too. Sin can look good, but it's bad. Okay? Sin can look good, but it's bad. Adam did what?
Sinned.
So this is what happened. Adam sinned, and now here's sin. All right? Nathan, I'm sorry, but I got to do this thing. Come on up here, man. Oh, Nathaniel, I'm sorry. My oldest son is Nathan. That's how I connected it. Sorry. Nathan, Nathaniel, Nathaniel, Nathan. Nice to meet you both. Therefore, through one man, sin entered the world. Sin, right? One man being Adam. Sin entered the world. And then what came from that? Yeah, this is no longer Nathaniel. This is death. Death. Okay, I need some fetters to bind our wandering hearts. Okay. So death, right? That's what happened. Adam sinned, and so sin entered the world. There was no sin before that. Sin entered the world, and then what happens? Death. So death exists. Okay? There was no death either. Okay? Still there? Hang on. Don't go anywhere. Like death can go somewhere, right? Notice here, and in your notes here, it says, just as through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus, this is going to be a little hard, but you got to spread through all men. Okay? And death, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men. So just kind of go spread your death all over. Get some death back there. If we got to die, we all got to die, all right? Thank you. Oh, here's a double dose for you. Okay? You get that? That's what happened. So Adam sinned. So sin entered the world. And that produced what? Death. And then funny thing, but the entire world population now... What do you expect sooner or later will happen to you? You will die. I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news. How do you know that you're infected by sin? If you don't believe it, all you got to do is wait till you... And you know that, oh, I guess I was infected. Right? That's a lousy way to approach any sickness. Did you hear President Carter has cancer? Just as a side note, you don't want to find out at the end that you have cancer, right? You want to find out at the beginning. But if you die, that means you indeed have been infected with sin. Okay? You got that? Now, let's see here. That's verse 14. Look at verse 14 there. It says, nevertheless, by the way, verse 13 says, hey, wait a second. We didn't all sin like Adam did. That's what it says there. We didn't have, not everyone had rules like Adam had. Did you know that? How long was it between Adam and Moses? Any ideas? Yeah, it's closer to, I think, around 2,500 years. What were their rules? They didn't have any rules. For the most part, don't kill people. Okay. I could probably remember that one. Right? They didn't have a lot of rules until who came along? Moses, right? But it says, for until the law, sin was in the world. Who's sin? Right here? Sin's in the world anyway. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. It's not assigned to people. It's not held against your account. Nevertheless, even though people didn't have any rules to live by, per se, they still what? What happened to them? All the people from Adam all the way to Moses, they what? They died. They sinned. But they died. Okay? It says here that nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. We know they all were sinners. Why? Because they all what? Died. Right? They all died. Even those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who was a type of him who was to come. All right? Thank you very much. You can sit down. Sin, death, and Adam. We may have you back. We'll see. Now we're going to break this down a little more. Verse 12 mostly, and I have it down below here, okay? So this is kind of a little more literal interpretation, okay? And by the way, you can see little works of what we've done. Identify all the black squares in the middle are the word hamartia, which is sin. It's either verb or noun form, depending. These squares are thanatos, which is death. The gray squares are namu or namas, which is law. But there's several repeated. Oh, and then I bolded anthropos or anthropu, which is man or mankind. That's why we get where we get anthropology. Okay? But notice now in here, this is a little more literal. On the right-hand side, just below verses 12 through 14. This is just verse 12 for the most part. On account of this, just as, notice here, through one man. So we go through a little more detail. Through one man, the sin into the world came, or came into. Okay? Everybody's sin comes through Adam. By the way, I wanted to wait till we got to this part, but I said it on Sunday, but I believe that we inherit our sin through our fathers. That doesn't mean that our mothers are not sinners. Sorry, Mom, I beat you to that punch. But it seems like it wasn't Adam and Eve, it was Adam. Okay, that's where we inherit our sin. That is also why I believe Jesus is still sinless, even though Mary was the mother of his humanity, if that makes sense. Okay, the sinfulness is passed on through the Father. The mother, women are all sinners because they all descend from whom? Adam still, right? And they all had fathers. But that's what it appears, that it passes on. But through one man, the sin into the world came. He's the one that ate from the fruit. But how that he brought it into the world. But what happened there? It says, and through the sin, the death. So in other words, once there's sin, the wages of sin is what? Death, right? So once there's sin, God has to punish him because he's holy. He has to punish sin. And so therefore, the punishment of sin is death. Is it true? How come Adam didn't die? Thank you. He did. But did he die right away? I'm going to say it again slowly. Now think about it. Did he die right away? Spiritually, he did. Remember, as soon as he ate of the fruit, the Bible says the eyes of both of them were opened. And then God comes in the cool of the day to the garden. And what does Adam do? There's something wrong. He what? Hides. There's something broken now. Remember on Sunday I talked about the AM/FM radio kind of thing. What some of you still have no idea what I'm talking about. Right? But It broke his connection to God. He didn't have the right or privilege. And in fact, he was condemned by God. So he did die. Death came that day spiritually. And then I believe he began to physically die that day. Okay? His body began to break down, just like our bodies are breaking down. Okay? So the sin came into the world. And through the sin, the death. So sin required a punishment of death. What did God do? We haven't talked about this on Sunday because we'll get to it in our doctrinal study more. I'll summarize it probably in 2 weeks. But what did God do even in the garden? I brought it up on Sunday a little bit. What did Adam and Eve clothe themselves with? Fig leaves, right? Anything wrong with fig leaves? Not really. Not really, per se, for clothes. But God was making a point. What was required to cover their sin? A blood sacrifice, right? He had to slay animals to get those skins, right, for them. A blood sacrifice. That is evidence of God's grace of what would come, right? We mentioned that Sunday. Notice here, and then the sin, through the sin, the death, and thus unto all men the death came through. Okay? So, sin is there, and then people, all the rest of the people except Enoch, right? He was translated to God, died, right? Everyone died. And it goes on to say, even from the time of Adam to Moses, when there was no law, like the Ten Commandments wasn't there until 2,500 years later, right? But they still died. They were still infected with sin. They inherited the sin from Adam. Okay? It passed on down. Okay? And then it says here, on the basis of which all sinned. It says there, because all sinned in the New King James, but there's more words there. On the basis of all having sinned. Now let me ask you this. Were you in the garden?
No.
Then how can you be counted as one who has sinned? How could you possibly, like Isaac was inferring, that I could be a sinner because of something a guy did in a garden? 6,000 years. Yeah, but I mean, I wasn't there. I didn't do it. No. But why would it matter? Why would I be guilty? That seems unfair, doesn't it? It's funny, but they don't, if someone robs a bank or a come and go or something, they don't knock on my door and say, I know you weren't there, but you're going to go to jail. Because you weren't there. You don't even know what happened, but we're going to take you to jail because we're going to blame you for what somebody else did. That doesn't seem fair, does it? Huh? You want to take my punishment for anything? Like if I were speeding, do you want to pay my ticket? Anyone?
Yeah.
I haven't got a speeding ticket since 1996. Thank you, Lord. I tried to drive the speed limit. But if I got a speeding ticket, would it be fair to send it? Tell him to send it to Pastor Jim. He's got lots of money laying in his driveway, right? It's like no. Why? Because it wouldn't be fair. Well, why is it fair if Adam's sin it counts for me? Because that's what the Bible's saying here. Well, that's different though. That we're talking about the I, you're talking about the S. All of sin and fall short of the glory of God. Everyone here is sin, right? So you've committed sinful acts. But why, in this verse, would it say I'm guilty because of what Adam did? That does not seem fair. Yeah, we descended from Adam, but so what? I don't have anything to show from Adam.
Just saying, similar concept that you are being raised by the part of Adam's grace. Thus, I inherited what Adam was.
Yeah. You're not clearing it up, but I get what you're saying. Okay, but he made it possible. But the Bible says we are all sinners because we had sinned already, in essence. Does that make sense? Well, he's our representative, but that's a bummer too, because I wasn't there. I think it's a little deeper than even the representative idea. That's called the federal headship model. Right, Ethan? Get all that out, right? It's strange, but this is what seemingly the Bible is teaching. You follow me here? I know this is kind of hard, but pay attention, okay? Because this is why everyone is a sinner to start before they have done anything. Okay? And Pastor Jim has already said it in so many words, but he says, you were part of Adam. So you came out of Adam. And it's kind of strange, but you came out of Adam, right? And all of the descendants the Bible thinks about as being inside of Adam. All his potential descendants were inside his body. Not as full entities, but as a connection to Adam. Okay? Since they came from Adam, they have what Adam has, his seed. There's one passage that hits on this. Ethan, what's the term I'm using tonight? Or have you already read it in the notes? Yeah. Traducianism. Yeah. If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews 12. I don't have this in your notes. I'm sorry. But this is why inherited guilt is the way it is. It's not just that he's our representative, though people argue that, and I won't argue against it. It's not illegitimate, but it still seems to be once removed. It's blaming me for something someone else has done. That I'm not, you know, okay, you're my representative, but I didn't vote for you, and I didn't elect you, and I didn't call you. But this is different. Okay? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9. Where am I at here? That's not it. I'm looking. Hang on, don't go anywhere. Levi paid tithes to Abraham. Sorry. Well, Sean just finished reading Hebrews. He should know where everything's at. Hebrews 7, sorry. Yeah, we're not talking just the... It's 7:9. No. Oh, I'm looking at 8. No wonder it doesn't make sense. Okay. How many remember Melchizedek?
I did.
Yes, you did. Who was Melchizedek? Priest of the Most High God. We don't know anything really about him. When Abraham went to rescue Lot, remember when the five kings of that area went and captured all these little cities and hauled them off? Abraham took his 311 trained servants and went and rescued Lot. Remember that? He came back to Melchizedek, who was at Salem, which eventually became known as Jerusalem. Okay, the city of peace. And a funny thing, he paid tithes. What's a tithe? Yes, ma'am. It's money, but it's a particular amount of money. Yes, Joanna. 10%. So it's a tenth. A tithe is, you could say he paid a tenth That's what a tithe means. A tithe is a tenth. He paid it to Melchizedek as a representative of God. He gave it to God by giving it to Melchizedek. Okay? Now, this is interesting, but all the way, and we, I mean, who knows if we'll ever finish the timeline of truth, right? If the rapture happens, Pastor Jim can keep teaching it, and we'll see how. But anyway, let's start in verse 1 of chapter 7 here. It says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all." He gave a what? A tenth part, or a tithe, right? "First being translated king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem," meaning king of peace, Melchizedek. And now this is talking about Melchizedek, "without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually." Now we don't really know who Melchizedek is. Was he a Jesus who came, you know, they call it a pre-incarnate Jesus. I don't really think he is, but he is represented as someone that no one knew his background, no one knew where he came from or anything, but he did represent God then. Verse 4, "Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils." Okay, so far so good. He just restates it. He gave a tenth. Now verse 5, "And indeed those who are of the sons of Levi, who receive the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law," that is, from their brethren, "though they have come from the loins of Abraham." So Levi descended from Abraham, right? And all the priests in the Old Testament were from Levi, the tribe of Levi, right? And actually, directly from whom? Which person in the tribe of Levi? Aaron. So you've heard Aaron's priesthood, or the Aaronic priesthood, okay, the priesthood of Aaron. "But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Now beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Here mortal men receive tithes, but there he received them, of whom it is witness that he lives. Even Levi, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham," so to speak. Okay? All right. Lemuel, come on up here. What's your name?
Lemuel.
No, it's not. It's Abraham. What's your name?
Abraham.
That was easy. Okay. Isaac, you want to come up here? Who is this? No, it's Levi. Put your glasses on, people. Levi, who are you?
Levi.
See? I don't know why it's so hard. Okay, I need someone that's really prestigious and high up. Pastor Ethan, come on up here. Who is this?
Melchizedek.
Yeah. Who are you?
Melchizedek.
See? Change your name, Baptist Church. That's what we'll be called. Okay. Melchizedek. Here comes... You can hide out of the way here for a second. Here comes who?
Abraham.
And he's all sweaty. Whew. From his battle, right? And he's got a load of stuff over his shoulder that he captured. Right? He's carrying... Here comes Abraham, here comes. Okay? And he offers a tenth of it to Melchizedek. So you take it. Sweet. Okay. You can set the rest down because I don't want to hurt your back. Okay. And then Melchizedek blesses Abraham.
Something. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. The Bible says this. And what they're doing is they're proving, and I know it's deep. This is very deep. This is not just meat. It's like fatty, chewy, gristle meat, right? When it comes to the Bible. But the Bible says the purse, the entity that is more important or greater is the one who blesses. Who blessed whom? Melchizedek blessed Abraham. Right? Who's the greater one then? Melchizedek, right? Now, what the Bible says is that inside of Abraham, in a sense, was whom? Levi. Okay? So when Abraham offered tithes to Melchizedek, in essence, this is really what the Bible is saying, Levi also offered tithes to Melchizedek. Sweet. And Melchizedek, the priesthood of Melchizedek, and this is deep, it's Hebrews deep, Melchizedek, the priesthood of Melchizedek is greater, because it's proof of that, than the priesthood of Levi. And guess which priesthood Jesus is from? The Melchizedekian priesthood. I know that's super deep, but that's what it teaches. Now, what we say then is, oh, well, if Abraham can offer a tithe and it counts for Levi, then certainly Adam can sin. And because we were inside of Adam, in essence, that sin counts for us. So whatever you yank out of Adam is sinful. Whatever descends from Adam is sinful. Does that make sense? It's deep. But who's the greater? Melchizedek. Why? Because he blessed Abraham, and Abraham is the one who paid tithes to Melchizedek. Okay? Therefore, again, the Bible says, in a sense, Levi was inside of Adam, and so what Abraham did counted for Levi as well, which proved that Levi's priesthood is inferior to the Melchizedekian priesthood, which is what Jesus is. And by the way, the if you sum up the book of Hebrews in one word, better. Better. The new covenant is better than the old covenant. Jesus is the better, right? Ultimately. But that's what... So, you can sit down. Thank you very much. Melchizedek, Abraham, and Levi. Adam, can you come back up here, please? It's amazing how quick people learn their names. So, because this is Adam and Adam's sin, because I descended from Adam, I, in essence, was inside of Adam. All of the children, if you will, that will ever be born on earth really came from Adam, right? So it's not just a representative thing. Like I said, I won't argue the fact, but we're of Adam's substance. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, so to speak. We are descendants from Adam. If we could all... How many here have ever had a DNA test? Have you had a... I took one for Ancestry.com. I am a bona fide mutt. Yeah, some of almost everything. But I'm saying I could see it. But ultimately, if we could all trace our ancestry back, we all descend from Adam. And guess what? You're a sinner because Adam sinned, and therefore inside of Adam you sin, and therefore it counts for you. Thank you, Adam. Dad? Grandpa Adam? Great, 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 you know, Adam. Grandpa Adam. Okay? In your lower right-hand corner of your notes is the technical term. Again, I'm giving you gristly meat kind of deep truth, and it's not something you can easily study on a Sunday morning. But this idea is called traducianism. The idea is that you get your soul as well as your body from your parents, your father ultimately, as I would understand it. And so you really, in essence, I know, I don't want to sound heretical or cultic, and I'm not an expert in this field, but you're an extension of Adam. Therefore, you're a sinner because you're an extension of Adam. There's a piece of Adam in you. Just like anything else. So therefore, you're a sinner because you sinned in Adam. You actually, that counted for you because you were part of Adam at the time. So you inherit a sin action. Not just sinfulness, but a sin action. It counts for you too, because you were there in essence. Just like Levi paid tithes to Abraham in a sense, we sinned in Adam in a sense. And so therefore it counts against you and it counts against me. So I have inherited sinfulness because that sin counted for me too. Okay, so notice what your notes say again. And I'm going in the second section here where I've translated it. On account of this, just as through one man, who is that one man? Adam. Through him, the sin into the world came into. I know it's kind of broken up, but that's literally the order of the words. And through the sin, the death came into the world, right? And thus, unto all men, the death came through. So how do we know we're infected again? That sin of Adam counts for us? Because we will all die. That is proof, 100% proof. And if you want to wait and think that you're not a sinner till you die, that's like waiting and seeing if it's really cancer when you die. Okay? On the basis of which all sinned. That's past tense. It's already done. Everybody that's ever been conceived has the sin against them in Adam. Now that's the inherited guilt. Now someone pointed out rather brashly, I feel, that I also have sinned sinful actions. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Like I need to be reminded of that, right? And I also have a negative bent. I lean towards sin. But the way we inherit that inherited guilt is because really that sin counts against us directly. Okay? Kind of deep, kind of chewy, gristly, kind of deep study. But again, it's something that we can't easily study in a morning service. We could, but it would be hard. Questions? But ultimately, the purpose of the passage is to tell you that the Levitical priesthood was inferior and imperfect. They had to keep offering stuff. The true priest went once and offered himself once for all, the Bible says. He sat down beside the right hand of God the Father, the Bible says. It's just phenomenal. Again, Sean just finished reading Hebrews, but Hebrews is mind-numbingly deep, but it's so interestingly good because it ties a lot of what we're talking about in the Old Testament in, and it brings it full circle. But it's kind of like, I'm not saying you shouldn't read Hebrews, but it's kind of like the doctorate level material in the Bible. It's just, it's really good, but it's really deep. And it's controversial, some of the stuff is. So. Can I tell you a little story about my DNA? Can I tell most of you, everyone else, close your ears? I'm 54% Western European, which French and German. Like, hey, surprise. What surprised me was is that I'm 15% Scandinavian. I didn't know I had any Scandinavian in me. I'm 11% Irish, and I didn't know I had any Irish in me either. The cool thing is not what I am. I got my dad's DNA tested. And they split it out, and you have, you know, just trace elements of certain things. Like I think I told you, Jane has a trace element of American Indian. Everyone thinks they're descended from American Indians. Almost nobody is, right? But she has a trace element of American Indian, and that they knew already. It wasn't a surprise. My dad has a trace of Eastern European Jew. I was kind of hoping I'd show up a 10% Jew or something. It's so small that it didn't show up for me at all. But I thought that was kind of exciting. It's like I got enough Jew for my small toe or something. You know. So anyway, it's kind of interesting. But ultimately, we're all descended from whom? Noah, right? And then back to Adam, right? We're all descended from Noah, right? Who is descended from Adam. So we're all descended from Adam too. That's where we got that sin thing, right? That we talked about today. Yeah, ultimately. Yeah, so. Other questions or comments? Kind of deep, but it's very much in the Bible. Okay, so if you don't get it all, if you don't quite understand, if it's fuzzy, that's okay, right? Just let it sink in, think about it. And I'm sure we'll be around again sometime when we get to the doctrine of sin. We'll touch base on this again a little bit anyways.